There's a verse in the 12th canto. The verse in the 12th canto says that meditation means meditating on the form of Vishnu. Not this, anything else. Meditating on the form of Vishnu. That's real meditation. Dhyana vasita tadgitena manasa pashyanti yam yogina. Yes, my son. Yes. Imitating Krishna. Here's, I'll explain it in the following way. From Krishna book. In Krishna book, when you read the story of Krishna's daily activities, so
you can share.
When Krishna was in Dwaraka, the rooster would crow early in the morning, and Krishna was embraced by his wives. Krishna was lying in bed. So as soon as the rooster crowed, which is before sunrise, yes? So Krishna would immediately get up from bed, even though he's embraced by the goddess of fortune. He would immediately get up, wash his hands and feet, and then meditate on himself. Now, Prabhupada mentions this. So, Prabhupada says, Krishna had no alternative but to meditate on himself. Why? Because meditation means meditation on the absolute truth, either Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. That's the object of meditation. It's one of those three. Krishna is all three. So he has no choice but to meditate on himself. Then Prabhupada says, people who are imitating Krishna, soham, what are they meditating on? That's not meditation. That's why Prabhupada says meditation means meditation on Radha Krishna. Radha, and that's why we do Hare Krishna mantra. That's real meditation. People say, oh, Prabhus, you know, you people in this country don't do meditation. Oh, yes, we do. We're meditating on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's real meditation. Now, meditating on the so-called self, they don't even know what that so-called self is. What are they meditating? And Prabhupada saw that. Because he was in the early days, he was invited to so many of these yoga studios. And he saw, what were they doing? They were sleeping. That's why Prabhupada was so heavy on this. He went to so many, the Dr. Mishra Yogan. He said he would go there. And then Prabhupada would ask, so what is the object of your meditation? And they would always give some vague thing. This was Prabhupada's point. They have no concrete object of meditation. Whereas in Bhakti Yoga, it's very specific. We meditate on Radha and Krishna, the deity, or the Hare Krishna mantra. So, it seems like we've stirred up the pot here. So, by the way, we have Madan from Radha Raman Temple. You know Madan? So, Madan is online. He says, excellent Prabhuji. Thank you, Madan. And
Madan,
yeah.
He's
into us. Then we have, where's Tripti Madhava Devi? Great answer, Prabhu. You were the only person who gave me an unforgettable answer to Shantaras. Jiyam. Thank you. But Sunil says, so never meditate on Soham, Prabhuji? Yes. Only meditate on Hare Krishna, on the deity form. Yes, don't do soham. Meditate. Everybody chant for Sunil.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
So Bhakti Devi Dasi, we're still going to have Nectar of Devotion class. Prabhu, that story of soham, yes. That is from 10th canto. Krishna had no choice but to meditate on himself. But we cannot imitate Krishna. We should meditate on Krishna. Krishna himself. Yes. All right? All right, so now we're going to do Nectar of Devotion. We're on chapter number 26. And who would like to play drum, Batu? Hey, devotional service is voluntary. There's no force. Very good. All right, so we're going to chant the introductory prayers on page 1. Rama, do you have a book? Everyone, if possible, should have a book. Who is doing the offering? Rama's doing the offering? Did you know that you were doing the offering? You have to tell? All right. Well, this is, you know, after this, I want to do RT. Yeah. Okay, the same. All right. Rama, is that all right? Okay. You have to inform, you have to be GBC, you have to communicate. Don't, by the way, I'm not going to say it. Nana Chastravi Charanai Kanipano Sat Dharma Sang Stapako Bolo. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipanao Sat Dharma Sang Stapako. Page 1, it's in the very first page. Lokanang hitakarinang tribhuvane manyo sharanya karo. Lokanang hitakarinang tribhuvane manyo sharan yakaro. Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajanan Andena Mat Taliko. Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajanan Andena Mat Talika. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Go Halako. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Go Halako. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya go, Shri Jiva go, Alako. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya go, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya go, Shri Jiva go, Halako. guy. So we now have 12 people online, and we just got a new one on Santiago. Pranatya Bhakti has just joined us. We have people from Bangalore. We have Los Angeles, Santiago, Holland, and Vancouver. All glories. Oh, Krishna Kumar. You're here. Okay, very good. All right, very good. So now we're going to do the Nectar of Devotion, chapter number 26. Wow, we are really advancing here. This Nectar of Devotion now is going to get more and more sweet. This is just like our Chaitanya Charitamrita is the advanced class. Nectar of Devotion is also advanced. So we got warmed up with the Bhagavad Gita. Now Nectar of Devotion, this is the real... Yes, and Chaitanya Charitamrita tomorrow. All right, are you ready for Nectar of Devotion?
Yes.
Jai, that's what I like. Yes. Ready, Aditi? Okay. Chapter 26, Stimulation for Ecstatic Love. Some things which give impetus or stimulation to ecstatic love of Krishna are his transcendental qualities. How many?
64.
Very good. His uncommon activities such as?
Smiling pictures.
Huh? Look, over Don Hill. What did you say? Rasalila. Very good. Any others? Keeping all the demons. Beginning with who?
Putana.
Very good. His smiling features, his apparel and garlands, his flute, his buffalo horn, his leg bells, his conchel, his footprints, his places of pastimes such as Vrindavan, his favorite plant,
Tulsi.
So, wow, just by seeing Tulsi, you can become ecstatic. And his devotee and the periodical occasions for remembering him. One such occasion for remembrance is Ekadashi, which comes twice a month on the 11th day of the moon, both waning and waxing. On that day, all the devotees remain fasting throughout the night and continuously chant the glories of the Lord. So now, that's the general synopsis of the chapter. Now, each of those items is going to be discussed. Thank you, Rama, for your pure devotional service. Krishna's transcendental qualities, his uncommon activities, and his smile. As far as Krishna's transcendental qualities are concerned, they can be divided into three groups: qualities pertaining to his transcendental body, qualities pertaining to his transcendental speech, and qualities pertaining to his transcendental mind. I have to confess, I have read Nectar of Devotion many times. This paragraph, it feels like it's the first time I've ever read it. It's like, as your consciousness expands, you thought you read something, but now it's apparent, oh, you read it, but you didn't read it. So now this one sentence that we just read just hit me just now. Wow. Krishna's age, his transcendental bodily features, his beauty, and his mildness are qualities pertaining to his body. There is no difference between Krishna and his body, and therefore the transcendental features pertaining to his body are the same as Krishna himself. But because these qualities stimulate the devotee's ecstatic love, they have been analyzed as separate causes of that love. To be attracted by the qualities of Krishna means to be attracted by Krishna himself, because there is no real distinction between Krishna and his qualities. Krishna's name is also Krishna. Krishna's fame is also Krishna. Krishna's entourage is also Krishna. Krishna and everything related with Krishna which give stimulation to love of Krishna are all Krishna. But for our understanding, these items may be considered separately. Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. Therefore, the impetus to love of Krishna, although seemingly different, are not actually distinct from Krishna himself. In the technical Sanskrit terms, such qualities as Krishna's name and fame are accepted as both reservoirs of and as stimulation for love of Krishna. Krishna's age is considered in three periods. From his appearance day, what do we call that?
Kumar.
To the end of his fifth year is called Kumar. From the beginning of the sixth year up to the end of the tenth year is called Paugandha. And from the 11th to the end of the 15th year is called Kishore. After the beginning of the 16th year, Krishna is called a Yovana or a youth. And this continues with no change. And as we have heard, Krishna lived how many years on the earth?
125.
And he didn't age more than 16. He looked. That's why he's God. You'll see in other religions when they have a picture of God, they have somebody with an old man with a beard. Like you go to the Sistine Chapel in Rome, they have God and he's an old man with a beard. Looks like a Dvaitacharya, right? But our God is a 16-year-old Cupid. Very nice. This was one thing that really I liked, converting from Catholicism to Krishna consciousness. When I started reading, I was saying, wow, this is great. God is a 16-year-old. And then when I found that Krishna plays a flute, I said, yeah, that's my God. He's a rock star. He plays flute. This is my kind of God. Yeah, I like this. So little by little, I was saying, yeah, I like this. Okay, let's continue. As far as Krishna's transcendental pastimes are concerned, they are mostly executed during the Kumara, Paugandha, and Kishore periods. His affectionate pastimes with his parents are executed during his Kumara age. His friendship with the cowherd boys is exhibited during the Paugandha period, and his friendship with the gopis is exhibited during the age of Kishora. Krishna's pastimes of Vrindavan are finished by the end of his 15th year, and then he is transferred to Mathura and Dwaraka, where all other pastimes are performed. Srila Rupa Goswami, that's the author of this book, gives us a vivid description of Krishna as the reservoir of all pleasure in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Here are some parts of that description. Krishna's Kishore age may be divided into three parts. In the beginning of his Kishore age, that is, at the beginning of his 11th year, the luster of his body becomes so bright that it becomes an impetus for ecstatic love. Just see, where are you going to find this? Anywhere else? Where are you going to read about? This is amazing. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes and a growth of soft hairs on his body. Now, Rupa Goswami is not making this up, by the way, because Lord Chaitanya ordered him, you go and go through all the Vedas, all the Puranas, and find all this stuff. In other words, Lord Chaitanya gave him the seed money, so to speak. All right? And he said, now you go through the Vedas and find the proof of all these things that I've told you. So when he writes this, he's just not making it up. He's found from this Purana, from this Sanhita, from this Veda, from this Upanishad. This is, you know, a very authoritative scientific tests. So you can go to the bank with this. Okay, you don't have to doubt. This is authorized. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes and a growth of soft hairs on his body. In describing this early stage of his Kishora age, Kundalata, one of the residents of Vrindavan, said to her friend, "My dear friend, I have just seen an extraordinary beauty appearing in the person of Krishna. His blackish bodily hue appears just like the Indranila jewel. There are reddish signs on his eyes and small soft hairs are coming out on his body. The appearance of these symptoms has made him extraordinarily beautiful." And by the way, boys and girls, the mere fact that we can have this class proves how advanced you are. Because if you weren't advanced, either you'd be sleeping or you would have left by now. Huh? Yeah, watching Lakers game. But because you're still here, this proves your level of advancement. And it is an honor for me to read this to you. It's an honor. So please give yourselves a hand. And that goes for you on line two. Yes. Yes. Very good. All right. Let's continue. In this connection, in the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, quote, "My dear king, I shall try to describe how the minds of the gopis become absorbed in thought of Krishna. The gopis would meditate on Krishna's dressing himself just like a dancing actor and entering the forest of Vrindavan, marking the ground with his footprints. They meditated on Krishna's having a helmet with a peacock feather and wearing earrings on his ears and a yellow gold colored garments covered with jewels and pearls. They also meditated on Krishna's blowing his flute and on all the cowherd boys singing of the glories of the Lord. That is the description of the meditation which the gopis used to perform." So, the gopis didn't do soham meditation. This was their meditation. That's why you'll see Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya says, the best yogis are the gopis. This is their meditation. So don't let anyone ever tell you, "Oh, you guys, you don't do meditation." We do meditation. We meditate on Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the Gita, "One who studies this worships me by his intelligence." When you're doing your japa, if you're doing your japa properly, that's intense meditation. When you're doing your puja, right? You do puja, that's also meditation, because you have to pay attention. When you're doing the arti, you're supposed to be looking and actually meditating on the different limbs of the deity. It's all part of meditation. Okay, let's continue. "Sometimes the gopis would think about his soft nails, his moving eyebrows, and his teeth, which were katechu colored from chewing pan." Ah, pan. So that means we can chew? Huh?
I do sometimes.
I'm asking you. No. Don't imitate Krishna. It's considered intoxication. Can't take it. Krishna can do. Even you will read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because some temples they offer Krishna betel nut.
Yes.
Devotees don't take even that Mahaprasad. They don't take. You understand? This is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even just like an Ekadasi, Krishna is offered grains on Ekadasi. Krishna. Well, we don't eat those grains on Ekadasi day. Someone would say, Prabhu, it's Mahaprasad. You're committing an offense. You have to take Mahaprasad. No, no, no. Next day I can eat the grains Mahaprasad. Not on Ekadasi day. No. You're not allowed, Krishna Kumar. Hey. Kani Uvacha. Alright, let's get back on track. One description was given by a gopi to her friend, quote, "My dear friend, just see how the enemy of Agha." So who's that? No, who's the enemy of Agha?
Krishna.
Krishna. It's a trick question. The enemy of Agha has assumed such wonderful features. His brows are just like the brows of Cupid, and they are moving just as though they were dancing. The tips of his nails are so soft, it is as if they were dried bamboo leaves. Hey, by the way, maybe you can help me with this. When I was in Maui, Hawaii, for my vacation, we went on this journey through the forest, and the girls said at this one point, there were three different types of bamboo. And she said one of them was blue. Have you ever heard of that? No, but I saw it. It was blue. Because they had one regular kind of bamboo.
Green.
And then she had another one. But then, and I was looking, I said, yeah, it's blue bamboo. I wanted to take a piece, but I couldn't. So you've heard of that. I've never heard of that. Blue bamboo. Okay, let's see. The tips of his nails are so soft, it is as if they were dry bamboo leaves. His teeth are reddish, and so it appears that he has assumed a feature of anger. Under the circumstances, where is the chance for a young girl not to be attracted by such beautiful features and not to be afraid of becoming a victim to such beauty? Krishna's attractive features are also described by Vrinda, the gopi after whom Vrindavan was named. She told Krishna, quote, "My dear Madhav, your newly invented smile has so captivated the hearts of the gopis that they are simply unable to express themselves. As such, they have become bewildered and will not talk with others. All of these gopis have become so affected that it is as if they had offered three sprinkles of water upon their lives. In other words, they have given up all hope for their living condition. According to the Indian system, when a person is dead, there is a sprinkling of water on the body. Thus, the statement of Vrinda shows that the gopis were so enchanted by the beauty of Krishna that because they could not express their minds, they had decided to commit suicide. When Krishna arrived at the age of 13 to 14 years, his two arms and chest assumed an unspeakable beauty, and his whole form became simply enchanting. When Krishna attained 13 years of age, his two thighs were challenging the trunks of elephants. His rising chest was trying to come to peace talks with the doors of jewels, and his two arms were minimizing the value of the bolts found on doors. Who can describe the wonderful beauty of these features of Krishna? The special beauty of Krishna's body was his mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his world-enchanting songs. These are the special features of this age. There is a statement in this connection that Krishna, on arriving at this age, manifested such beautiful bodily features that his restless eyes became the playthings of Cupid, and his mild smile resembled the newly grown lotus flower. The enchanting vibration of his songs became a great impediment to the young girls, who were supposed to remain chaste and faithful to their husbands. At this age, Krishna enjoyed the Rasa Leela, exhibiting his power of joking with the cowherd girls and enjoying their company in the bushes of the gardens by the bank of the Yamuna. In this connection, there is the following statement, quote, "Throughout the whole tract of land known as Vrindavan, there were the footprints of Krishna and the gopis, and in some places, peacock feathers were strewn about. In some places, there were nice beddings in the bushes of the Vrindavan gardens, and in some places, there were piles of dust due to the group dancing of Govinda and the gopis. These are some of the features which are due to the different pastimes invented by Sri Krishna in the place known as Vrindavan." There is the following statement by one gopi describing Krishna's attractive feature during this age. "My dear friend, just see how all of a sudden in the sky of Krishna there is a powerful rising sun, and how this rising sun is minimizing the rays of our chastity moon. Our attraction for Krishna is so intense that it is drying up the lotus flower of our discrimination, and we are losing our senses in deciding whether we shall continue as chaste women or be victimized by the beauty of Krishna. My dear friend, I think that we have lost all hope of our life." In the Kaishora age, beginning from the 11th year and continuing up to the end of the 15th year, Krishna's arms, legs, and thighs become marked with three divisional lines. At that time, Krishna's chest challenged a hill of Marakata jewels. His arms challenged pillars of the Indranila jewel. The three lines of his waist challenged the waves of the river Yamuna, and his thighs challenged beautiful bananas. One gopi said, "With all these exquisite features of his body, Krishna is too extraordinarily beautiful, and therefore I am always thinking of him to protect me, because he is the killer of all demons." The idea expressed in this statement is that the gopis were comparing their attraction for Krishna to an attack by demons, and to counteract their attraction for the beauty of Krishna, they were also turning to Krishna hopefully, because he is the killer of all kinds of demons. In other words, they were perplexed, because on one hand they were attracted by the beauty of Krishna, and on the other they needed Krishna to drive away the demon of such attraction. Shall we go on? All right. The Kishore age can be translated as adolescent. At the end of this period, all the gopis said, "Krishna is the killer of the attraction of Cupid, and as such, he disturbs the patience of all newly married girls. Krishna's bodily features have become so exquisite, it is as if they were all manifesting an artistic sense of the highest sort. His dancing eyes have dimmed the brilliance of the most expert dancer, and so there is no longer any comparison to the beauty of Krishna." Learned scholars therefore describe the features of his body at this time as Nava Yovana, newly invented youthfulness. At this stage of Krishna's bodily features, the conjugal affairs with the gopis and similar pastimes become very prominent. There are six features of conjugal love affairs called peacemaking, picking a quarrel, going to meet one's lover, sitting together, separation, and support. Lord Krishna expanded an empire of these six features, of which he was the ruling prince. Somewhere he was picking quarrels with the young girls. Some he was scratching them with the nails of parrots. Somewhere he was busy going to visit the gopis, and somewhere he was negotiating through cowherd friends to take shelter of the gopis. So you can get an idea here how intense, and you can get an idea of how elevated. As I said before, if you're still hearing, if you're still with us, it shows that you have come to a nice level. Do I have permission to continue?
Yes, sir.
Vishnu Kumar? Yes. All right. Some of the gopis addressed him thus, "Dear Krishna, because of your adolescent age, you have just become the spiritual master of these young girls, and you are teaching them to whisper among themselves. You are teaching them to offer solemn prayers, as well as training them to cheat their husbands and to join you in the gardens at night without caring for the instructions of their superiors. You are thus enthusing them by the vibration of your enchanting flute, and as their teacher, you are teaching them all the intricacies of loving affairs." So you could also, unless you are fixed in the understanding that Krishna is supreme, you might get some might get very disturbed by this. If somebody is still on the material moral plane, they will use this. See, your Krishna is immoral. Don't hear about this Krishna. He's immoral. But if you've transcended that and you understand who is Krishna, without any doubt, this becomes nectar. It becomes something so wonderful. All right. It is said that even when Krishna was a boy of 5, he manifested such youthful energies. But learned scholars do not explain them because of the absence of suitable age. Krishna was beautiful because every part of his body was perfectly arranged without any defect. Such perfect bodily features of Krishna are described as follows. "My dear enemy of Kamsa," so who's that? Very good. "Your broad eyes, your rising dress, your two pillar-like arms, and the thin middle portion of your body," well, now I know I'm not Krishna, "are always enchanting to every lotus-eyed beautiful girl. The ornaments on the body of Krishna were not actually enhancing his beauty, but just the reverse. The ornaments were beautified by Krishna. A person is called mild when he cannot even bear the touch of the most soft thing. It is described that every part of Krishna's body was so soft that even at the touch of newly grown leaves, the color of the touched part of his skin would change. At this Kishore age, Krishna's endeavors were always bent toward arranging the rasa dance, as well as toward killing the demons in the forest of Vrindavan. While Krishna was engaged in enjoyment with the boys and girls within the forest of Vrindavan, Kamsa used to send his associates to kill Krishna, and Krishna would show his prowess by killing them. So we'll stop there, because otherwise we might get too ecstatic and we may not be able to drive home. Jai. All right, let's do a short little bhajan, then we'll have arti and kirtan. I assume that you want Sriman Kakani to lead the kirtan for the arti, and Jai Krishnadas will do the arti, and we will all chant during the arti. But let me do one little, and I want to do this. Krishna, Please don't forget to come next time. Very good. All right, I want to dedicate this short little bhajan to three people: Aditi, Madan, and Bhakti Devi Dasi. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Hari Bo, Hari Bo,
Hari Bo, Hari Bo,
Hari Bo, Hari Bo,
Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Haribo! All right, so now we'll have Arti and Kirtan. Kaneji will lead us in the Kirtan. Where is our Pujari?